All right, in geology, we're on page 10. Oh, you need that too, don't you, huh?
So I need it.
All right. Page 10, letter C, we're on the nature of angels.
Page 9,
oh, I'm sorry. Mine is more information. Page 9, letter C, angels. Letter C. First of all, I said A, angels are spirit beings.
What?
A, under the nature of angels. Angels are spirit beings. B, angels are not subject to death or any form of extinction. And then C. You with me on C?
Where's the B?
There's no fill in there on B. It says angels are not subject to death or any form of extinction.
Yep. We're not getting anything new right there.
And then number C, angels are referred to by the masculine pronoun. By the masculine, male pronoun.
Yeah.
Although when you say masculine, you got to wonder, are we talking about masculine females anymore? They are referred to by masculine pronouns. They don't marry each other in heaven, thank God. Kairos would be really a queer heaven. They don't increase in number. And they don't have direct relation to each other as human beings do, meaning that they're not all, you know, the son of so-and-so. We are all related to Adam. They're all related to God. Number two, there are the same number of angels today, evidently, as there were the day they were created. Matthew 22:30 says, "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." As if to say, they're not increasing. The angels are as they are. They're not marrying. They're not increasing. They're not procreating like humans are.
Question, if the angels were made to marry, why were they attracted to women on earth?
I think that you're out of my limit. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to take a guess, and that is they...
Well, they were fallen angels in the masculine sense.
And,
there must be some sort of attraction to the female.
Well, I don't know if they're attracted or if they're seeking to destroy.
Or seeking to procreate themselves.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It is.
Because that's a sense too. I'm only throwing this out because I haven't heard any of this, but maybe it's because angels, if they procreate with a woman, in a sense they're making little gods or making themselves a kind of god or a small god, is it?
It's possible. It's out of my limit, I can't say. I just know that their purpose in it seemed to be the destruction of the human race by influencing the human race through sex and through a corruption of the human race. Only it says Noah was perfect in his generations and his lineage. Everybody else had some messing around with. I don't even like to think about it, but can we at least say some things? All right. You've got angels, and they mix with women, and you create these giants. But I'm going to call them not just giants, let's call them mutants. Okay? And these become the gods of Greek mythology, Roman mythology, and all mythology. Well, when men and women today mess with animals. I don't want to go that way. But that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with something that is just violent. And not just the act, but the result of it. This is able to result in some things. You read about there in Revelation some mutant things. You've got a beast rising out of the bottomless pit that has the face of a man, the hair of a woman, the teeth of a lion, got the stinger of a scorpion. What is all this stuff? It's not just some demon, okay? There is something going on. I don't even like to think about it.
If the angels were made to marry, why would it have been seen?
Okay, they weren't made to marry. That doesn't mean they weren't male. You're thinking they're walking around like, I don't know, I hate to say this, but did you ever pick up Barbie and Ken?
Yeah.
They were not gender specific under the clothes. Alright? So we have been taught that these angels walk around and they don't have any male features. No, they had male features. They just didn't have a female counterpart like we do. Right? So a woman is a man with a womb. Right? Is a human with a womb. A man is a man that has the capability of impregnating a womb. But they're both male, they're both human. And angels are just one half. They don't have female angels. There are no female angels that can be, but there are female humans that can be impregnated.
Oh yeah, yeah, but they can procreate.
Evidently, they can. Evidently.
Just they're created, like,
with the ability to procreate.
But they were never supposed to do it.
Now you're into a realm. Again, a lot of this stuff, this is why some people don't like to teach about angels, and I almost didn't, but I figured we got to, and we'll do as best as we can. Because you're into a realm where things that, man, I can't say. I have no idea. I can guess. I can look at these things. Why were they given the ability to procreate and not the responsibility to procreate? I don't know. Men are. Be fruitful, be multiply. But other than that, I can't go any further. Number three, since they are direct creations of God, they don't have babies or experiences of growth and aging. We never read in the Bible about baby angels or old angels. Okay? They are old only in the sense that they have been here since creation. Number four, they are a company, not a race. Let's go to Hebrews 12:22. Hebrews 12:22.
So, it's false teaching or false thinking of the world that babies, when they die, they become little angels.
Yeah. No, they become full grown.
Yeah.
Male angels.
Who does?
A baby that is killed. By accident in childbirth or whatever, they are in the presence of their father in heaven, and they're given adulthood.
But they're not the angels, though, are they?
They are as the angels. They're like angels.
Yeah, but they're not the angels.
No, they're not angels at all.
So that's what I'm
but they're not babies either. My prediction was they're not babies at all.
Understood.
And they're not angels.
When we get into eternity, will look like
Jesus.
30.
Yeah.
In the 30s.
That's right.
I was understood.
The best age.
Sorry, Hebrews what?
12:22. Right there, Barry.
But you are coming to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels.
All right, not to a race of angels, but to a company of angels, as you fill in there. So they're not a race. Like humans have different races, right? We are the human race. And they're also called the sons of God, directly created by God, and not the sons of angels. So some of these things you don't get unless you do some testing and you say, are they the sons of the angels, or are they the sons of God? No, they're direct connection, direct creation by God. Number D. They are different both from man and from God. When we talk about angels, as I said at the beginning, we always start with man, and then we lower down and we talk about animals under them, insects, plants. I mean, there's zillions of different, all the way down to amoebas, you know? Yeah, but it's all downward. Okay, so we have all of those different layers. But man is different. But between man and God, there are cherubs, seraphims. There are angels. Okay, you see how there are different layers there. So between man and God, there are different types of angels.
And it's hard to change that, man above angels.
Well, yes, in a way, men, Christians, will judge angels. One big angel we will judge, his name is Lucifer, who's the anointed cherub they covered. So, yes, we will, because we've been actually elevated into the beloved. Okay.
Just as he was made a little lower. Just
we are made a little lower, but one day we will. I'm just not sure how far to take that. We will. We have been given great position in Christ. We're seated in heavenly places. Okay, right now the angels have more authority, but one day we will. It's a crazy thought. So we're different. Angels are different, both man and God. Angels are not men, and angels are not deity. Jesus' position in God was as God's only begotten Son. We're in Hebrews. Let's read verses, chapter 1, verses 4 to 8 there, Eric. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 4 to 8.
Being so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they.
All right, hold. Here, we've got God. Who's better than the angels? Who's this referring to?
Christ.
All right, so we have Christ, who is not an angel. This goes against the Mormons, goes against the Jehovah's Witnesses, goes against the Seventh-day Adventists. Christ is not an angel. All right? And being made so much better than the angels.
So does that made mean position?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean like being created.
We look at verse 2. Let me go. Start in verse 1, and I want you to see.
God, who at so many times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son.
Ah, his Son. So when God became a man, he became a son, and he learned obedience as a son. He obeyed his father as a son. So the Christ I'm referring to, not God the Word, but the Word became flesh and became a son. He is not an angel, which is a Mormon say, no, he's another God. He's a created God. Well, the Son, he was created, but the God part of him wasn't. To a Jehovah's Witness, he's an angel. He's talked about as being an angel, as Michael. The Seventh-day Adventists make him Michael the Archangel. A lot of cults make Christ an angel, and he's not. He is the Son, and he gave spoke unto us by his Son. Keep going.
Glory 3, Alex?
Yeah, you go.
Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person?
Whose person, by the way?
God.
God's person.
And upholding all things by the word of his power. So he's the only one that can do that. There's no one else, angels, whatever, can uphold all things. When he had by himself purged our sins, angels can't do that.
Nope.
Sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
No angel has ever sat down next to God.
Well, they wouldn't be able to sit in his
They are constantly flying around, covering their eyes and covering their feet and crying out, holy, holy. That's as close as they can get, but they never sit down next to him.
And that's, in a sense, speaking of equality, isn't it? It's finished as well.
Amen.
Because the priest never said.
That's right.
Be made so much better than the angels as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him.
So how many angels of God?
All.
So how can he be an angel and not worship himself? If it says all the angels of God worship him, it means all angels are under him. Go ahead.
And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits.
Not sons.
Because he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he's not a spirit. And of the angels he saith, we make his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom.
Excellent. So Jesus' position is God's only begotten Son, thy throne. So he's spoken to the Son. Is your fill in there on D? It's God's only begotten Son. Causes God to give the command, and let all the angels of God do what to him? Worship him. Note the Jehovah's Witnesses err because they teach that Christ is a created being or an exalted angel, whereas the Bible teaches he's the uncreated creator.
You know, just even reading down through there when we were talking through that, the doctrine that's in there about Christ is a little
really
bizarre. I've never seen it before.
Now you know why the new Bibles and why there is so such a push to constantly revise the Bible, to water that stuff down and to create confusion in people's minds. Number E, his incarnation. In his incarnation, when he was born, Christ was made a little
lower.
What than the angels? So he's above the angels.
Well, the argument could be that he was equal with the angels.
And he became lower than the angels.
But could...
I know, you can make that argument, but that's a stupid argument when the Bible's already said he's not an angel. All the angels of God worship him. And then, so he can't be an angel. And then Christ, as a son, became a man. Right? That's why he became as a... Which is the word Christ. We used to cry the word Messiah. When God became the Messiah, he became a man under the angels. He's a little lower, that's your fill-in, a little lower than the angels.
Sorry, I know I'm dyslexic, but should there be an L in Angus?
Angels. Okay, Mr. Perfectionist. All right, your fill-in there on E is angles. No, lower, lower. Number one, Hebrews 2:16 says, verily he took something on him. Let's go to Hebrews 2:16. That's you, Romeo.
For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to seed of Abraham.
Read me verse 16 again.
No, no, that wasn't 2:16.
That was a, it's different.
I know. I want to know how it's
2:16.
2:16. He's got a new King James.
All right.
But it's not. It's not King James. It may be new, but it's not King James.
Doing Hebrews 2:16.
That's right. Read it again slowly.
For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham.
No way, Jose, Jack. Put an X by that verse, it is wrong. That is a perversion.
It says the nature, as opposed to the head.
Took on him the seed of Abraham.
For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels. He didn't start becoming an angel. He became a man. It doesn't talk about giving aid. I never knew that problem with the New King James.
No, I never seen that either. I've had the New King James for about 10 years.
That is a purely alternate translation. It's not even a helpful one. Eight angels versus the seed. So,
yeah, that's the New King James.
So he took not on him the nature. What's the nature of an angel? What are the natures of angels? All right, well, they fly. What else?
Messengers.
They're messengers. Good. They're powerful. All right. Now, he didn't take on that nature, did he? He took on the nature of a man. He took on, he was weak. He was subject to temptation as a man. Look at the nature of man. Christ took on the nature of humans, not on the nature of angels. So that New King James got some problems.
Yeah, we discussed it.
We're going to have to swap you out. All right, so your fill-in there, not, is your fill-in in nature. Hebrews 2:14, John.
For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil.
Good. So what's your fill-in there?
Flesh and blood. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same.
All right. Do angels have flesh and blood?
No.
So he didn't take on their nature, whatever it is. They're spirits.
No, sorry, maybe I'm jumping a little bit, or maybe you've covered that, but it says we're to entertain strangers, for thereby some entertain angels unawares. So there's the physical side of them too.
They can appear as a human.
But they're not human, are they?
No.
But these guys...
they may appear as angels, but they're not angels.
All right. But yes, angels can appear as men. But they do not have flesh and blood.
They are angels are subject to different levels of temptation than we are. We're weak. They're incredibly powerful. Okay, so I'm trying to show the two different natures just off the top of my head.
Number three, Hebrews 1:16 and 17, Barry.
Sorry, where did you took on?
1:16 and 17. I see 1:16. It should be 2.
Boy,
how did that happen? It should be 2:16 and 17. Because there is no 16 or 17 in chapter 1.
For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people.
Alright, so he made his, made like his what?
His brethren.
Brethren, the?
Seed of Abraham.
Yeah, Jews. Good. Of the seed of Abraham. Alright, so... these guys aren't Jewish, they're not Gentile, but these have different nationalities and different races. And he took upon himself the nature, not of the... Boy, I was listening to some Muslim the other day, and he just says, Jesus worshipped Allah, Jesus was a good Muslim, and I just want to punch him. Took upon him the nature of his brethren, the Jews, the descendants of Abraham, not Israel.
Context is all about Jesus becoming a man.
Yes.
And then the other Bible is like, suddenly it's just like completely, there's nothing to do with it, the way they translate 16.
I don't understand that. So it's weird. It's scary.
Was the Arians didn't believe, or believe that Jesus, did they believe that Jesus was an angel as well?
You know, I don't know. I just know that they had no time for Jesus being literally in the flesh. He appeared, but he wasn't really there.
No, that was the Gnostics.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
You know, Arius.
Sorry, yes, I was thinking of Gnostics.
You believe that Jesus was a created God.
Well, I did. I don't remember. That's right, that's right. When you said Arians, I thought of the, like the Aryan superior race, Arians.
Well,
sorry. Too many terms to try to juggle in my mind. Okay.
They were like,
you know, the German super race thing, guys. Sorry.
Called, they were like, it was like the Catholic versus the Arians. That was like the Council of Nicaea.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you now. Alright, number F. The Bible teaches that we will be fill in like the angels in some ways. Matthew 22:30. But it does not say that we will become angels. Although we were debating that last week. What does it mean? And I don't know. Believers are told that someday we shall. Now 1 Corinthians 6:3. So back to you, Barry. 1 Corinthians 6:3.
Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?
All right. So somehow, Christ becomes a man, but as Eric was saying, or somebody was saying, we're going up here and judging angels. That's a phenomenal thought. So we don't become angels. We still have a status that's different than angels, even in heaven. Even though we got that one illustration where we have a guy saying, I'm of your brethren, the prophets.
But the angels are not in a relationship with Christ, who is the Son of God. Like, we're in a relationship with Him.
That's right. They are only ever servants. We are not only servants, we are sons with Him. We are brethren with Him. We're joint heirs with Him.
Because we're going to have the inheritance with Him.
That's right.
So, in a sense, that we're having the equality. Not that we're going to be God's like, but...
So, we shall judge angels. Therefore, to sing the following would not be appropriate. I would be an angel's. I would be an angel, and with the angels stand. You may want to be an angel, but you ain't going to be one. You're going to be as the angel. Some hymns actually talk like that. So, men and angels are angels. Men are men, and angels are angels, and God is God. However, it is true that we will join with the angels in the praise of our God. It's just making sure we separate each group. Now their position, in regard to man, their position.
I like
in their position. In regard to man, they are by creation, man is lower than the angels. Right, we've been made lower, or they've been, man is created lower than the angels. Hebrews 2, 7 to 9, Eric.
Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see him not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man.
So why did God become flesh?
Well, he couldn't have suffered death.
Good. To die. It's the most, unbelievable answer when people say, well, why did he have to come? So he could die. See, God can't die. One of the things that God cannot do, so he had to become a man so he could die.
But you know, it's another great doctrine too, where it says, thinking about God is the only one. God himself is the only one who can pay the price for your sin.
That's exactly right.
Because there's nothing that a man can do.
Amen.
To pay that price.
Amen, amen. So man is lower than the angels. Angels are higher, unfortunately, in intelligence, power, and movement. Yet angels serve men. I think that's absolutely breathtaking. Chapter 1, it says his angels are ministers of them that should inherit salvation. And so these more powerful beings serve us.
Sorry, can I stop you at 14? It says they're not all ministers for sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So is it only for Christians that they come to minister to?
All right, now you're into a Calvinistic realm, and I don't take it that far. I take it that they minister to the human race that has been offered the opportunity for them to be made inherited. They serve, and they minister to...
Who shall be heirs of salvation?
I know, but do you limit it? Do you decide to limit it only to those who shall be, as if God only... ministers and uses angels to minister to people who will get saved.
No, I don't take it that way. Right.
What are you trying to say?
That's too Calvinist for me.
I know, that's. But I'm asking, why are you asking it that way?
To me, that's the way I'm understanding the meaning of that, is that who shall be heirs. I'm not an heir yet, but I'm going to be an heir of the
right.
Salvation. So, but I am saved.
But
so to me, that's the sense I read, is that it's minister to those who are saved. Because it doesn't make sense to minister to the unsaved.
It doesn't? Are you serious? Was Moses saved when God spoke to him in the mountain?
No.
And yet that was an angel speaking to him. So angels do interact and interrupt and present. And
that's going again in the realm of Calvinism.
So, no, I'm trying to say that angels do deal with people who are unsaved. So to say that angels only minister to those who be saved is a very, very obscure way of understanding.
But the scripture record anywhere that angels minister to the unsaved, specifically you're talking about Abraham.
Right, I'll give you an example.
Because Abraham did get saved.
Moses did get saved. Well, okay. I have to think about it because I haven't thought about it. But I know the talks about children. It says, be careful about offending these little ones because their angels do always stand before their Father in heaven.
But
so these are children before they ever get saved, and their angels are watching over them.
But do angels stop ministering to children when they come to an age of understanding?
Well, you're saying that they only minister to children that will get saved.
No, only to children.
Oh, I know, but now you're saying he can minister to children.
But when they come to an age of understanding where they make a choice.
Back off, I don't know. I would make it very complicated. I'm just saying that is an obscure verse, and I don't define a doctrine by an obscure verse.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe they minister, their main purpose is to minister for saved people, but they also might minister to others. It doesn't rule out the thought that they might minister to others.
I know, that's the point. That's exactly. I know that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him.
Is it possible we can't say for certain what that verse means?
Yes.
Okay.
With pleasure.
Schlosser doesn't go down that road of Calvinism.
Not at all. I know. Okay, so today, believers are experientially, we experience a life lower than the angels. Yet positionally, that's your fill-in, positionally, where are believers? We are higher than the angels. Ephesians 1, 20-22. That's you, Romeo. We're now in Ephesians. I was just reading number B under their position, 1 and B. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20-22, Romeo.
Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church.
All right, now, this is Christ moved above all principality and power, and he being having everything under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things, and then he says, to the church. Now, I want you to run, compare that with Ephesians 2, if you'll read 2, verses 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah. But God was rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, and even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit together the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
So, now I drew our diagram here as man judging angels, but the only reason why we're able to judge angels because positionally, I've been put into Christ, and now I can judge, I will be able to judge angels as being related to him. I can't relate to God outside of my mediator making it possible. He gave me the power to become the sons of God. So man has been raised up, and I can't belabor this too far. I just want you to understand, angels are in between us and Christ and God. They're in that in-between section there. Now Christians share Christ's seat at God's right hand. One day, however, believers will both positionally and experientially be higher and will judge angels. This undoubtedly refers to some kind of governmental direction believers will have over angels in the millennium. Number two, with reference to Christ, where do the angels fit in relation to them? But with him, by his essential nature and being, Christ is higher because he is God the Creator. We already read that in Hebrews 1, verse 4. He created the angels. Colossians 1, 15 through 17. Go to the right, find Colossians. And John, if you'll read Colossians 1, verses 15 to 17.
That's a great verse for them, isn't it?
Mm.
Wow, 16.
Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
All right. Christ is higher. He's the creator of all things, just as God is. By Christ's incarnation, he became lower for a little while. But this only applied to his humanity. By Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension, he became far superior to all angels, just as being the last Adam and the second man. As the glorified and exalted God-man, he became the last Adam.
Adam was the head of the first race of men, but Christ became the head of the second race of regenerate men. He is called last because there will be another fall, and because he has a glorified and exalted Savior, he is the life-giving Spirit. As the second man from heaven, he is viewed as the head and beginning of a new and exalted race of people. Which is greater, Abraham or Christ? Okay, Abraham is the head of the Jewish race. Christ is the head of the Christian race. Adam is the head of the human race, or the fallen race. Good. So we're looking at positionally heads, and Christ is the head of all angels, all principalities, all races of everybody. All right. Number H. Angels are real persons. There are three persons that every person possesses. Three things that every person possesses. Let me say it that way. These are what makes a person a person. The following triangle may help you remember three components that make a person. All right. First one is intelligence. Although I worry about some people. Right, so your triangle's got to have three corners to it. All right, first one's intelligence. This is what three things make up a person. Why we say somebody who is a person is not an animal, not a plant, not a bug. These are three things that make us a person. First one is intelligence. The second one we're going to see is the will, the ability to choose. And the third one that makes a person is their emotions. Okay, we're going to show you. I was going to show you that. Hello, sir. Come on in. I'm going to show you that angels have intelligence. They're not stupid. They're not dumb rocks. Okay? Angels have a will. And angels have emotions. That, just like you, those three things make you a person. They make you sentient. They make you not just intelligent. You know,
body, soul, and spirit.
Not just body, soul, and spirit. These are you can't apply those to body, soul, and spirit, even though emotions can be soul. Will is your soul. Okay? Intelligence is part of your soul. So these are all part of your soul, but they're not part of your body or your spirit.
But do angels have body, soul, and spirit?
No, I do not. I do not know how to divide an angel's natures. Okay, so, but I want you to understand that they have intelligence, emotions, and will. And first of all, let's look at their intelligence. Daniel 9:21. Who did the last reading?
Romeo.
Did Romeo do the last reading?
Yeah.
All right, John, I guess you got Daniel 9:21. Oh, he just read, so it's back to Barry. Daniel 9:21. 21 and 22. Daniel
9:21
and
22.
What?
Slap you, boy. Yeah, well, I was speaking in prayer with the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the booth at the beginning, and caused the sword Lord swiftly touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding.
To give you skill and understanding. He's got a level of intelligence. He's not a tape recorder. He's actually teaching. Look at chapter 10, verse 14.
Though I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, but yet the vision is for many days.
All right, so he's not showing the member on Star Trek, Star Wars, on the original, very first one that was put out. He had a little R2-D2, and Obi-Wan is sort of working with him. Something pops, and he all of a sudden shows Leia going, "You're my only hope, Obi-Wan, come and help us." Remember his little video that he shows a holographic? Oh, come on.
I do, yeah.
Come on. Anyway, This angel doesn't just present a video of what God wants. He actually teaches Daniel. He's showing intelligence. The angel is smart enough to communicate, to talk with, to reason with Daniel. Revelation 19 now. Keep going there, Barry. Revelation 19:10. I can't believe you don't know Star Wars. Going to have to dock him some point. I mean, that was quintessential. Revelation 19:10.
And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Right, this is an angel, and we don't know exactly how this works and all this stuff, whether he is Daniel or whatever, that's as an angel, but he's actually called an angel. But the point is, he's talking to him. He says, he's not this robot. And then 22:8-9. There, Barry.
And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book of the word of God.
Alright, normally, statues don't do that, robots, computers don't stop you. If you wanted to worship your laptop's not going to stop you. This thing has intelligence. That's the point. This angel does.
It's interesting, he says, I am thy fellow servant.
I know. So, we're not sure how it works. The guess is, and my guess is, that I accept it, is that's Daniel. But why is he referred to as an angel when Jesus says we'll be like the angels? So it's one of those little shades where we don't have an understanding yet. Okay, because I like the reference that we're going to be like the angels, but we're not going to actually become an angel. But that doesn't mean I understand it. Again, we're in some things where I only say what I know, okay, which sometimes is not very much. Number B, will. Look at Isaiah 14:12-15. Eric, angels have a will. Isaiah 14:12-15.
How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the gaze of the north. And the size of the north. That was the New King James. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.
Mm. Five times, not six, not seven, not four, five times, which is the number of death, he says, I will. He makes a choice. This is the most powerful angel of all. This is Lucifer, the son of the morning. He makes a choice. Jude now.
What does he mean there, 13? For thou hast said in thine heart. Is that a physical heart he's got, or the center of his essence?
It's the center of his essence. He, in his heart. He didn't broadcast. He didn't say to all of heaven, says, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be just like God. No. God knew it was in his heart. And when he was planning and scheming how he was going to try to overthrow God and get the glory of God, God kicked him out. But he said it in his heart.
Does this mean, though, that angels have a physical heart?
No. When it says heart, sometimes it says that thou shalt believe in thine heart. Okay. All right, I'm not.
Good job.
Okay.
What's the next one?
Jude 1:6. Only if you leave a quarter. You could find a quarter. So you have to go for free. Then. I'll let you do it for free. Then. Jude 1:6. Isn't it sad? We don't have quarter. Oh, man. Growing up, you had to have a quarter for everything. Quarter with
50 cents.
Huh? I know you have 50 cents. Yeah. 20 cents. I guess that's right.
And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved an everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day.
Wow. They didn't keep their first estate where God put them there first, but they left their own habitation of their own free will. And he judged them because they decided to leave. So when Jesus says, thou hast left thy first love, what a slam. Just like the angels did. I chose to go away from God. Wow. Alright. So, they have will. And they have emotions, which is fundamental. I want you to say, angels, like men, and people, are persons. Do we say that God is a person?
Yes.
That's why we say the three persons of the Trinity, because each one has its own intelligence, will, emotions. that are seem to be, they're connected, but they're separate. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost have different intelligence, wills, and emotions, just as angels, just as humans, all right? So we're now understanding maybe a little bit more. Let's look at them displaying joy in Job 38:7, Romeo. Job, just before Psalms.
When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy.
Do you know when they sang and they shouted for joy? When is that talking about? Do you remember? Look in there in verse, what is it? Verse 4.
It's 4. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding.
Alright, when did God lay the foundations of the earth? When did he do that? At the creation. And who was watching and who shouted for joy? You and I weren't there. People weren't there. So who was watching?
Sons of God.
Well, there was a Father, but he's the one doing the creating. Actually, the Son was. But who was watching? According to verse 7.
When the morning stars sang together, the sons of God shouted for joy. And the sons were angels.
Angels. The angels were there, yes. And they weren't just going, yay. No, they shouted for joy. So they have emotion. Let's look at another one. Luke 2. Also, do you remember when it says there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents? And those were of the angels of God. Here's that. Luke 2:13.
Suddenly there was with the angel of a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying.
Okay, and it goes on. Yeah, no, I'm just going to stop you there. So what, they were praising God. They were honoring, praising with their emotions. It's hard to praise God without emotion, isn't it? That's why a true biblical church is an emotional church. Not just a doctrinally correct church, but that we have emotions as well. And they also have desire. This gets crazy. John, if you'll read 1 Peter 1:12.
Revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into.
So have you ever noticed something on the internet, you see something on the side and it's a news article or whatever, and then you desire, oh, I want to look into that, right? That's an emotional reaction. Oh, I want to find out what's happening. It's not just intellect, I want to learn, but I want to know what's going on. The angels' desires, let's go here. Hey guys, let's go to Balliol College. Let's see what's going on over there. They have desire. That is an emotion. They are a person. Okay, so we're going to stop with that because I want to say with number 2, keep in mind that we're showing that angels are persons. It does not mean that angels are humans. God is a person, but he is not a man. Numbers 23:19 is not a man that he should repent. Angels, however, qualify as persons, but they're not members of the human race. So don't confuse humanity, personhood, and just personality. Angels possess all three of those things, and we're going to start next week with them possessing intellect. They reason. 4th of October.
All right. Let's stand and let's pray.